I first start our, and the worship service, next song book, 273. 273 will be our first song of Brother Ken Wilson. It's good to have everyone here, Lord's Day evening. Our guests, your honored guests, we're glad you're here with us. Hope and pray that you will find everything done here in heaven, good, God, for members out of town. Courtney, she's going out of town tonight. She'll be part of the group Thursday. The weekend kids, the Keats family, and the Collins family that are all at home. Wednesday invitation, by Brother Warren Wright. Meet again Wednesday evening at 17 on this Wednesday. We're going to be at the Wright's house in Collins. They're making the carpets here and that day. So we'll meet at the Wright's. I also want to inform all the adults to be on the safe side. You might want to bring a chair. That way, you don't have a place to sit. They don't have a place to sit. Then, of course, next Wednesday morning will be 9 a.m. Bible study and 10 a.m. worship service. Order of services this evening, open prayer meeting by Brother Mark Adams, teaching by Brother Warren Wright. We'll still have the song service. Chuck will bring us our lesson this evening. The holy prayer with our brother PJ. We also remember the class material. I don't see any, so maybe everyone got what they need, so I'll make a new thing. New class will start July 7th. Want to remember Pam, Faith, and Mitch McGate. I heard one from her. Struggles, treatment over there in Northwest. After services, box up the books only, the late chairs and tables, everything just like this. Anything else that you find it like, I think, price material, the small things, stuff like that. That's all I have at this time. If I fail to bring something that I failed to mention, then I can bring my message. Number 273, sing all three verses.
I know the Lord will find a way for me. I know the Lord will find a way. From every sin and set me free.
grateful for being our Father that has all knowledge and wisdom that we can bring home that to be grateful, Father, for this day, this whole day, assembled. Grateful for blessing to give us from the physical land, Father, from life itself, the birth that we live on, and we die for ourselves. You know, all this, Father, is temporary. God is important on this day, on this earth. We do lean upon those spiritual blessings through your Son, Jesus. We have to do a prayer to study and meditate upon our word and all means to present that word to those that may have questions about it. They have opportunity on this life and in our travels to do this so. Courage, boldness, this time, Father, with those away from us, those that mentioned traveling, those with health issues, the fortunate health that we do have, and those that have assembled with us, will be our desire to do thy will. Turn all to us by the labors of our kingdom here, as well as encouragement to each one of us. Pray, Father, for the governments of the world, know that you have your hand in those governments and raise them up and along. Pray, Father, that you be with this government of our country that still don't have the freedoms that we have for so many years. Realize that those freedoms are taken away, we always look upon the their safety and thy word and whatever persecution has come, that we're those that first century Christians did. Give me the honor of being our Father. Pray at this time, Father, forgive us our sins. Pray that we would examine our lives in the way that those sins have been committed. And if we try to make Father that we so have faith,
recommendation on bringing your own chairs. I'm sure Tina and Warren would prefer if you bring a folding chair. I know you ain't like your Lazy Boy, but there's just not enough room in their basement for that kind of chair. But anyway, that's just one little inconvenience for this summer of until we get moved out of here. So let's continue to pray about the efforts later. Probably within less than 2 weeks, Lord willing, we should be closing on our building, and so we're pretty excited about that. I want to encourage you to open up your Bibles tonight to the book of Numbers, the 13th and the 14th chapter mainly is what we're going to be dealing with tonight. For those who are listening really carefully this morning, I said it quickly, but I was going to preach a lesson tonight about is atheism an option? And I could preach for years. If anybody ever tells me not to preach on something, I'm preaching. Well, they asked me not to preach on it because they weren't going to be here. So for that reason, I decided, okay, I can wait till next Sunday and we'll preach that lesson. I think it would be good, too, especially for the number of the younger people that are not with us tonight. But I really, as you all know, based on that conversation I had with a friend who got his son questioning the existence of God and having read some information about how somebody who could be a Christian end up being an atheist and reading how that happened. So those kind of things where we're going to address with that, and it's good for us to be challenged from time to time. And know why we believe what we believe. We're never afraid of investigation. But, Lord willing, that's the best thing. What are we going to talk about tonight? Well, we're going to talk about tonight about the positive and the negative. Now, if we gave this a negative title, we would say, well, what happens when you lack faith? Well, the positive side is, how do you react when you have a strong faith? And so we're going to be looking at that by this familiar story that we have. But we're going to be looking at a lot of different verses in this section of chapters 13 and 14. If you glanced at your Bible, you kind of know where we're at, right? We're dealing with the spot that went into the promised land. And we know about the 10, we know about the 2, we know about Joshua and Caleb. So you know about those who had faith and those who didn't have faith. And so what we're basically going to be doing tonight is talking about what happens either way. What happens when you trust in God, what happens when you don't trust in God, and so on, and we'll go from there. So let's just read a couple of verses to begin with. In Numbers, the 13th chapter, and we see in verse 30, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are able to overcome it. So now this is after the 10 command, or no, the 12 come back, the 10 say we can't go in, we can't take the land. It is a land that God has described flowing with milk and honey, but no. They're not ones who think that they can go in and take the land. But I wanted to notice that positive right off the bat. Let's go ahead. We can do this. Now in chapter 14, let's pick it up in, well, for the sake of time, let's start in verse 6. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is exceedingly a good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them. And the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And I really like this. It's a good way to start off. Is that when you have those who trust in the law of the Lord are telling those people who are not trusting in the Lord, is to say, trust in the Lord. In other words, you want them to understand, you know, that the problem you're having right now is because you're not thinking about God. And we as God's people, that's what keeps us going. We stay focused. All that's going on around us, and I get thinking about that. It kind of helped me over the last few months. When I think about this tremendous project that we have undertaken of trying to facilitate our own meeting place and the funds that surround that. You know, and then I look at it, and from time to time, I'll look at it the way God looks at it. It's like, how do you think the Egyptian army is coming. You know, it looks like a huge thing, but, you know, if you look at it from God's standpoint, you know, it's a poor illustration, but if you've seen some ants, you know, and there's this little trickle of water and they can't get across, for you as a human, you're going, that's no big deal. I'll just stick two fingers there and it dries it up and the ants could walk across. You know, in perspective, we're so much bigger than the ants. And we're looking at them and they're going, how are we going to get across? And so when we start looking at things from God's perspective, we're going, nothing's too hard for God. You guys have been mentioning in your prayer talking about Pam. You know, whether it's God's will or not, but when we think of disease, nothing's too strong for God. Nothing, that's too powerful. No, that's too much for God. God can't handle this. God can't handle that. And when we're looking at this situation, I love the way that they're trying to convince the Israelites to try to trust in God. Look at it from God's standpoint. In other words, we can do this because we trust in our God. We know His ability. Now, when we start comparing our abilities with God, we get in trouble. There's no way. You can't even begin to do that. So what's a big deal to me? It's not that big deal to God as far as being able to accomplish it. And so I think that's what it's like for you and I to understand that if we're going to walk by faith, we need to understand some principles which the majority were not remembering. So what we're going to do is I'm going to go back and forth. I just don't want this to be the, here's what happens when you don't, here's what happens when you don't. But we're going to go back and forth with this of noticing those people who did trust in God and those who didn't. Okay, so in Numbers chapter 13, let's read verse 31. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Point number one. When you lack faith, you start thinking in terms that you're all alone. That's the narrow thinking. That's what's happening here. These people are standing up and they're just basically saying that they're stronger than we are. They're stronger than us. How could you even begin to think that they're stronger than us? Oh, I get it. Because you don't have God standing with you. You're not thinking about the Father being on your side. Well, if that's the case, I get that. And I think that's what you and I understand as Christians, those of us who are walking by faith, is knowing that we have God on our side. I relate to you guys that story a couple of times over the past few years about when that bully on the bus. And, you know, when that bully kept picking on me for months and months. And I remember when my brother put his hand on that guy's shoulder and he turned around and saw my brother, I just kind of like, you know, yeah, now what's going on? You know, like, now I know who's in my corner. You know, you're not so tough, buddy. Although the guy was huge. He was huge. But my brother was. And so this guy to me is like, yeah, but then my brother stepped in like, yeah, you're not so tough. And so when you see that, and so we as God's people, do we walk with the eye of faith? You see, that's what we read earlier when they said, you know, we can do this. God is going to be with us. But when you lack faith, the problem is that we don't see the big picture. And that's the problem with human wisdom. Let's look at a little of this. I'm going to keep my Bible open here to Numbers. But I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Talked a little bit about this last Sunday. But 1 Corinthians, and well, I think verse 20 will suffice. When we think about this world, where is the wise, where is the scribe, where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? See, God makes it look foolish. You know, I think of a Goliath standing before young David. Oh, Goliath, you're so full of wisdom. Wait a second. We talked about this morning. To be full of wisdom, you have to have knowledge. And the knowledge that we have comes from God, and that's called faith, by the way. And so the problem with Goliath is he's looking at the situation, is thinking that I'm so wise, I am so smart, this is nothing. You're going down, David. I'm going to kill you. You know, David's attitude is, no, I have God on my side. So things are different that way for us, our perspective on things. But the wisdom of this world, we face it all the time. But you know, we are a different breed. We're God's people. We can be victorious. We're going to go forward. And we're not afraid. Because you know what? We're not alone. That's why Jesus had to comfort his father. Don't fear those who can kill the body. Are you kidding? I'm afraid of them. You don't be afraid of them. You be afraid of the one who can destroy both body and soul now. And so we know what it is to walk by faith and not by sight. Quickly, James the third chapter makes a little bit of a connection with this point. James chapter 3. Let me pick it up in verse 15. Again, we're talking about this wisdom of the world, guys. We're a different people because we walk by faith. And learn from the Israelites of old. Learn from those who lacked faith. And learn from those too who didn't lack faith. And they trusted in God. And they knew they were not alone. James chapter 3 tells us in verse 15, the wisdom, this wisdom. What wisdom? Well, let's back up a little bit. He says in verse 13, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in meekness and wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. Look at verse 15. This wisdom does not descend from above, both earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy, self-seeking exist, confusion, and every evil thing will be there. But the wisdom that's from above is for pure, the peaceful, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, hypocrisy. Now the spirit of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. What a contrast between Joshua and Caleb and everybody else. We're going to read in more detail some of those reactions. But what a contrast between the two. And there's a contrast between you and those who walk without faith. We're just a different group. We just have that confidence in God and his approval and how he looks upon us. And we're not perfect, but we're striving for that because we trust in him and we're leaning on him. We are not alone. That's the key point. You don't remember anything else that I said in the last 5 minutes? Remember that point. We are not alone. That's how come we go through life thinking about, how am I acting? God sees it. What am I thinking? God knows it. What are my decisions going to be? God knows. Have I considered him in all of this? Those who lack faith, he's nowhere to be found. We're not thinking of him. That's what makes us special. That was what makes us different. But we must move on to Numbers chapter 14 and verse 1 for our second. Numbers chapter 14 verse 1 says, so all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. Create false fears. When you lack faith, you create these false fears. Now you look at this situation. Now from Joshua and Caleb's perspective, you can just see them there going, what are you doing? What? Why are you crying? You know, God brought us all this way. We spy out the land. He promised us. We can go back to Genesis chapter 12 through Abraham. And we're going to become this, we became this great nation. We're going to get this land. God has brought us all the way here. Why are you crying? It's like promising your children, I'm going to take you to Disney. And they're all excited about it. And you get to the Florida border there, and they start crying. We're not going. Yeah, we're going. Let's not forget. No, we're not going. You know, you sit there and you go, snap out of it, man, or kid, or whatever. We're going to Disney. You know, that doesn't make any sense that we would come all the way. Yes, your mom and I drove all the way here, put up with all that crying, got all the way here. And you know what? We're just going to turn around and go, no, we come out of it. We bought the tickets. Look, what's it going to take to convince you? We're going. Why are they crying, guys? It's false. Why are they crying? It's all in their minds right now. Do you get that? It's all in their head. There's not a problem here. So why are they crying? Because they're believing these people saying, we can't go in. We can't take it. Well, you really start working. Okay. Thinking you're all alone. But you're crying over something you shouldn't be crying over. Why is that happening? Because you have these fears. And that is the opposite of what I read earlier in verse 6. Now, in verse 6, their reaction. Okay, I get there now in chapter 14 that I read a moment ago. Now, this is a little different than what we're reading in verse 1 of chapter 4. Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those that spied out the land, tore their clothes.
They're upset.
They're upset, verse 1. They're upset for different reasons. They're upset because they're upset. You understand? It's kind of like talking with somebody. Why are you upset? You're upsetting me that you're upset. Go back to the scenario with the kids. How do you think mom and dad feel when the kids are questioning them? Well, now we feel bad. We feel bad that you feel bad. We we're going to go. And here they are. They're upset because they're upset, because they're not trusting God. And that's frustrating. But that's what happens when people lack faith. And when people that do have faith understand that. Turn over to the book of Matthew quickly, the sixth chapter. Analogy, Matthew chapter 6. Verse 25. He says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is life more than food, and is your body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, and can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. You guys need to understand. Like I'm going back to the numbers. We understand. We as God trust in you. And people have been sharing some stories the last few days and then this morning talking about Ham's demeanor. It's wonderful. I just remember visiting people in the past who have that, who are members of the body of Christ, who in some cases death is knocking at the door. I'm not saying that's going to happen now. I'm just saying that when people just sit there and they just, I'm ready. And that's the point of just having that calmness, that confidence. But folks, let's call it what it is. Let's use it. What are we going to do now? You have faith? Use it. It's like, well, I'll have faith if things are going good. No. Faith is what you and I walk by every day. And that, it's there when times are good and when times are not so good. We keep things in check because of our faith. It helps keep that balance from the highs and the lows. I'm just walking by faith. I'm walking by faith and I can deal with those things. You and I, it says something about us when we want to fall off the edge. Every time one little thing happens here, it's like these Israelites, you get there, great, walk by faith now. Now more than ever, because if you look at these people, okay, they look like giants. Now it's time to lean on your faith. That's the time. And so, guys, when you're faced with challenges in life, and things are not going so good in your life, I don't care what it is, financial, emotional, it can be any kind of crisis in your life. Use it all the time. And that's what we learn from them, because if you don't, what's going to happen is you're going to create these false fears. And what have you gained in these? And that's what he's talking about here, worrying. I mean, is it going to make you any taller? Just go on. Trust the Lord and realize there's something better waiting for us. As mentioned in the prayer tonight, that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I appreciate what Mark had to say. That's our goal. Okay, Numbers 14, third point. Got to keep moving here. For those who are keeping track, they're sick. So we're on number 3. We're almost halfway there. But look at chapter 14 and verse 2. Now remember what we just read. They all started to cry. Now look at verse 2. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in the wilderness. Well, what's this one? You know it. Start pointing things. When you lack faith, it's somebody else's fault. Isn't that interesting? If I'm lacking faith, I'm going to blame somebody else for my condition. That doesn't make any sense. Well, but that's the last logical outcome, because when you lack with
those who are of faith. Well, if you have faith and you're walking by faith, you know you're accountable. You step up to the plate and you ask God your story for yourself. That's what you do because you have faith. You're strong. But see, the people that have weak faith, oh no, it's Eve, it's him. No, it's God, it's the serpent. No, it's the serpent. He blamed her and she blamed the serpent. Yeah. Every pass in the buck. And that's what's happening right here. All of a sudden now, you're upset because you heard the news. You can't go in and take it. You believe the test. Now what happens, the next logical step is now who do we blame for that? First of all, you created these false fears. Well, I don't want to take the blame for that. So let's blame Moses and Aaron. And that's what people want to do often, trying to justify their action. Of course, when I think back to what happened in the beginning, it hasn't changed back there in Genesis chapter 3 with Adam. One thing that we have learned through our studies of the scriptures over the years, guys, even going through the Old Testament, trying to get people to acknowledge their transgression under David, thou art the man, getting them to admit, to confess that they have sinned. It's all about us. It's not to beat you up. It's just to help us to realize we're here to walk by faith. And faith means that we are going to accept ourselves for what we really are. What do I mean by that? Well, when I read in 2 Corinthians 13:5 that I examine myself whether I'm in the faith, how do I do that? By looking into the perfect law of liberty, guys. That's walking by faith because this is my standard. Do I believe this is my standard? Do you believe this is your standard? So how are you holding up to the standard? It's the point. So are you walking by faith? Those who walk by faith accept it and look at the challenges and make the necessary changes. It's called growth, as Peter talked about. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are growing, as Peter mentioned, as newborn babes. We desire the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby. That means there's changing. You are evolving, guys. You realize that you don't want to stay here. You want to get over there. Oh, grow. And you won't accomplish it without faith. But you are accomplishing it with faith. Walking by faith. We're learning back here from Numbers 14 how not. What can I do to better myself? That's the key. It's hard for me because I'm preaching all the time. It seems like I'm just preaching to you guys. But I'm preaching to myself. I need to be doing that. And that's the point. But I'm not going to get where I need to be if I'm not going to step up and admit where I'm wrong in certain areas or areas I need to continue in and stay strong. Well, let's move on from there. Well, we're staying in chapter 14. We read verses 1 and 2. Let's read. Numbers 14. So, why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword that our wives and children become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Big word. This is a natural progression. I'm not that smart. Still be dealt with the Lord. It's right there, verse by verse by verse, the progression. I don't think this stuff up. It's right there. And so when you lack faith, then the next logical thinking is that you're better off. You're better off without God. You get that? You're better off without God. Okay. All right, we got a problem here. We can't take the promised land. Okay, so we're over that, you know, we cried about that, and then, of course, we turned around and we blamed Moses and Aaron for that. So the next thing we need to do is we need a plan, okay? Now, this plan is that we need to appoint somebody to take care of this. Our plan doesn't include God. That's the problem. When you lack faith, it doesn't include God. It's all about me. And we're back to that previous point about we're so full of wisdom, we're so smart, we know what's best for us. Forgetting Jeremiah, right? It's not within man to direct his own steps. But that's what happens when you lack faith. We're the type of people that might get to the point where we say, we know what's better than God. I mean, better than God. I mean, Proverbs 14. I already quoted in Jeremiah's text, but let me just quickly turn over to the book of Proverbs, the 14th chapter. Well, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. You see, you need to understand the proverb writer here, what he's talking about here, is that the way that seems right to a man is not a way that comes by faith, by trusting in God and what he wants. When man thinks that he knows better than God, we're in trouble. We are totally dependent upon God. You know, we raised our children, didn't we, those of us that have children? What are we doing with our children? We're raising them. You're on your own. That never happens. You can't use that analogy with Christians. Because the Lord says, you're never on your own. You're always, dependent upon him. Always dependent upon him. Constant. And so, that's the problem when you lack faith, is this idea that we think that, well, you know what, a strong faith means I step out on my own, and I make my own decisions without faith. That's what the religious realm does. I have a very strong faith. The arrogance of talking with people today, I'm amazed, you know, Tony and I. So every other Friday, we try to get out there and take this little white ball. Not very good. Me. So we meet this guy. He goes, so they pair us up with a couple of guys. It's like, you're going to be going with a pastor. No, that's not me talking. That's the other guy. Yeah, you're going with a pastor today and a funeral director. Well, you're going with a, I always tell people, yeah, you're going to the Marine and a preacher. He goes, oh, we've got two pastors. Buddy, you know, what is it that you want to wear a title? Okay, people just, you know, it's like, I know things. You know, you just have this sense, this attitude with people who that they're so self-confident in themselves and they say things and teach things not found in you. That's not faithful. You get that? That's what these people are doing. These people are sitting there going, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to appoint somebody over us here. Now, God already took care of that, folks. God already took care of that. Yeah, Moses was going to lead you guys in. Now, that's not going to happen, as we'll read here in just a few moments. But the arrogance. And that can happen to you and me when we think we're walking by faith and we're not, because God's nowhere to be found. That's the problem with it all. And that's what we talked about on the radio program, Romans chapter 12 and verse 13. People start to think more highly of themselves than they ought to. Well, of course you're going to do that if you lack faith. But the more of us that walk by faith, we don't think more highly of ourselves. We're clothing ourselves with humility. And it's like, let's see what the Lord says about that first, okay? Yeah, that's what we do. We don't act and then check it out. We check it out and then we act. That's walking by faith. You see within these Israelites how they were acting, and we want to avoid that at all costs. Okay. Now we get into some real interesting. They're all right. These final 2 points, wow. We can identify with them of what's going on in the world today, especially in the religious realm, and we don't want to have these eyes. So let's move down to Numbers 14. Let's go to verse 9. Okay, let's see what happens now. 9 and 10. As they're being lectured. Do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread, their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us, do not fear them. And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel. Okay, what happens here? Well, they start losing all sense of truth. What's the fact when you lack faith? Brother, you shouldn't be surprised to hear things that people say in the religious realm. Don't be shocked. I told you that before. I've gone into Bible studies and a guy says to me, I think there are UFOs. And I go, well, that's interesting. I think if we study, we're going to find answers to that. Let's not just jump all over them. Are you from outer space? Well, then I just stop myself. You know, you don't sit there, you know, where's this coming from? Well, you expect people.
without faith, who are not walking by faith, to say things that are not found in here. That doesn't shock me. And so you sit back and say, well, Israel, the Israelites should have known better. Man, they shouldn't have known better. They should have known better. Why do they act like that? Why are they saying these things? What's going on here? These people are crazy. No, they're not crazy. They just like that. And when you lack faith, you just progress from one stage to the next. And you start doing this, and then you start doing this, and then you start doing this. And then what happens? All sense of truth is completely gone. They reasoned with them. That's what we read earlier on. We could have gone back to verse 6 and read all the way down to verse 10. But they're basically saying, look, don't rebel. They're like putty in our hands, so to speak. Let's go take them. And their answer was, okay, let's stone them. Well, where's that coming from? What's that coming from? It's coming from a bunch of people who don't like me. You know, it's just people don't understand stuff. You know, people will just say stuff. I told you guys a long time ago when we were discussing the subject of discipline. I mean, people just say stuff. It just shocks me sometimes. But I remember being in a business meeting one time and said, oh, it's time for us to withdraw from Brother So-and-so. What? Has anybody seen them? Have you talked to them? No. Well, what are you talking about? You know, they just jump in and say stuff. Doesn't surprise me. That's what happens when you don't consult this. You have a lot of ideas in your head. You just want to jump and do something without thinking. Your sense of right and wrong is completely gone. There's no reasoning with that person. Can you read through the book of Proverbs? How many times do you use the word "me"? A lot of people just are so foolish in their thinking. Not that their sense of right and wrong. And I guess you could use Job's wife as an example. Curse God and die. Okay, let me think about that. Yeah, that's really good intelligence. No. Well, your sense of truth is, your sense of reason is gone. When you lack faith, it's not going to make any sense. To them, it makes perfect. I get that. That's the world we live in. We're different. We're the Joshua and the Caleb. We're going against the flow. We're on that narrow road that's going to life. You know, we're not down that path of destruction. So we think differently because we're walking by faith. We know we're not alone. And so we're just going to trust in the Lord and know that I don't want to create false fears. I'll just take one step at a time and get to where I'm going with the Lord helping me every step of the way. You know, I haven't written in the outline here, but you could go back and talk about what the Israelites had witnessed a few chapters back, going through all the plagues. I mean, they're the ones who cried out to God, and that's why God told Moses, no, the cry of you, the children have come up to my ears. I want you to go and set my people free. Go. They witnessed all those things. The hand of God through all of that. So what happened here, guys? I mean, they understood truth. They saw evidence of it. God is, and he's with them, and he helped them. Parted the waters, for crying out loud. And then when you receive the commandments, remember, this is, here they are. They're going into that. They're going into that promised land. You know, God has been with you every step of the way. Where is your sense of truth gone? It's gone. And that's what happens when you lack faith. So I don't want to be that way, and I know you don't want to be that way. All of that is truth. Handling it properly. This talks about the scripture of rightly dividing. Okay, our time is beginning. Let's move down to verse 40. This is kind of cool. It's cool in a bad sense, but it's powerful. That's a better word. Okay. So in Numbers 14, this is after they're told, because of your rebellion, you're not going in. You're not going in. You're going to wander in the wilderness 40 years, that unbelieving generation is going to die off. Now look at this. In verse 39, it says that Moses told these words to the children of Israel, which I was just telling you, and the people mourned greatly. And they rose up early in the morning and went to the top of the mountain, saying, here we are, and we'll go up to the place which the Lord has promised, for we have sinned. And Moses says, now why do you transgress the commandment of the Lord? For this will not succeed. Do not go up, lest you be defeated by the enemies, for the Lord is not among you. For the Amalekites,
presumed to go up to the mountaintop. Nevertheless, neither the Ark of the Covenant or the Lord nor Moses departed from the camp. Then the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the mountain and came down and attacked them and drove them back as far as Horma. Now what happened? Well, lack of faith creates false hope. Well, there are people who look you in the eye and say, I'm okay, don't worry about me, I'm okay. Have you done this? Don't worry about me, I'm okay, I'm okay. Look at this. That's what happens to people who lack faith. What do us with faith say? Don't we say the same thing? Yeah. But the difference is, we can prove it, whereas they can't. What happened here? We're going to go up and fight. Moses, don't go. Don't go. You don't have the Lord with you. We sure do. We just told him we're sorry. We're going to go down there and fight. We're going to win. We're going to win. No, you're not going to win. Too late now. Too late. See, that's what happens when you lack faith. Now, the reality came afterwards, but my point is, at that point in time, just like today, you have people who lack faith who think they have great faith. You see, great faith isn't saying, I know the Lord is with me. No, 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 that's not great faith. Great faith is, I know the Lord is with me. I don't feel the Lord is with me. I know it. That's the difference of walking by faith. These people are convinced, we're going to do it. We told them we're sorry. We're going to move forward now. We're going to go into the land because we don't want those bad things that are going to befall us that Moses told us about. We don't want them to happen to us. So because of that, because of the way we think, we're going to win. We're going to win. We're going to lose. And the only reason you lose is because you lack faith. And that goes for every one of us here. Without faith, Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible. And so as we go through life, it isn't just this. I'm going to be talking about that with atheists because the stuff that I had been reading on that recently, how the atheists think that they convert. Believe it or not, I told you a little bit about that. I gave you a tidbit last week. How the atheist has this 10-step or 8-step of how to convert a Christian to atheist. And I thought that was rather interesting. How to convert me to atheist. There it is. It's really one of the points we're talking about right now. Because he basically comes out and says, and you're getting a tidbit of the sermon, because they basically come up and say, since the Christians use emotion, do the same thing. I don't use emotion. So that's not going to work again. But that's what a lot of religious people do because they don't have faith. They don't walk by faith, guys. Get this. A lot of religious people do not walk by faith. Were these people religious? They just said, we're sorry, we've sinned. Sounds like a religious person to me. We've sinned. And so now we're going to go up and fight. Whoa, wait a minute. Okay, you acknowledge God in all of this. You acknowledge your wrongdoing. But what you fail to acknowledge is God is not with you. That's what happens when you lack faith. You think you have this security. It's a false sense of security. And that's the difference. And I'm going to be preaching on that. Talking about that with some this week. Can we be 100% sure? We can have confidence. But a lot of that sermon will spin off from this one, and that is, it's all about faith. You either have faith or you don't. You have weak faith, then you start questioning. And you start doing things that Israel got caught up in. Folks, we need to be the Joshua and Calebs of our day. We need to have that faith that overcomes, that victory. It's ours. It's assured to us. Just as it was assured to them, go in and fight and you'll win. We have that kind of assurance that heaven is going to be ours. It's going to be. There's just no doubt in our mind. But we're not basing that upon man-made doctrine or the confidence that the preacher has with you. Nothing to do with it. It doesn't matter whether I think you're right. It matters what the Lord says. That's what it means, folks, to walk by faith. Let's learn from both sides here. Let's be strong and familiar. tonight, in just a few moments, we're going to be standing and singing the song of invitation. It's not an invitation we take lightly. It's something that's very serious because it's called an opportunity to make yourself right with the Lord. Your salvation is so important. It's so important that the Lord sent His Son to die for you. See, Chuck, He died for the whole world. That was the morning. Take it. First, He died for you. If you're not a Christian, you need to become a Christian. But remember, it's all about by faith. How do I know my sins are gone? Well, all I can do, folks, is show you, here's what it says, remove your sin. I did that, so I know my sins are gone. So what are you basing it upon, Chuck? I'm basing it upon the Word of God. That's all I'm saying. I'm just basing it upon, that's what it says. And so I have the confidence in God. That's what it means to walk by faith. Now to you, when you leave here tonight, are you going to heaven? What's that based upon? Is it like the Israelites of old who said, we're going to go down there, we're going to have victory. If the Lord comes tonight, are you going to have victory? Or are you going to be lost eternally? It's as simple as that. This isn't rocket science. You either are in Christ or you're outside of Christ. You say, well, I'm almost. You know who's almost, right? Lot's wife. Oh, she looked back. Turned and killed herself. Almost made it. Almost. Almost doesn't count. Either you're Christian or you're not. You're faithful or you're not. It's a simple thing. And here's the thing. God knows. God knows. Can't fool Him. You can fool me. You can fool me. So if you're a child of God that's gone wayward, you need to come back. If you're not a Christian, you need to be taking care of that this very evening. Come, believe and repent and confess it. We'll baptize you in Christ's remission of your subject. Anyway, let it be known. Stand together and sing the song.
Lifting my heart says the Father above, thou gifts so precious to Him as our love. Softly He will. Give me thy heart.
tonight. Remember those of our numbers who are gone. We have quite a few that are gone, so offer a lot of prayers on their behalf. We're 10 days in Northwest. Can you pray for her? Can you pray for the efforts for the money to renovate the building? We're going to be purchasing the building soon. Can you pray for those efforts as well? Father, we just thank you. Give me that heart. I mean, it's all about our heart. We've been talking about that. It seems like for several weeks now, individually, of having our heart right with God and having our heart right. We're not looking to blame someone else for our success. So let's think about these things, pray for each other as we go on to the work week, and we'll now be close to the work prayer right.
Pray. Dear God, pray for those who are sick, healthy.